and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Hi everybody, I'm so looking forward to speaking to you today on a subject that is so close to my heart. So if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, one way or another, write at the top of your page this: discipleship, the art of producing a banquet. Discipleship, the art of producing a banquet. Before I begin that, I just want to say thank you so much for watching, so much for being with us. If you've accidentally happened upon our stream or somebody's recommended it to you, we want to give you a particularly warm welcome. But I want to say hi to all the regulars as well. It's great to have you on our online service. It's day 50 of lockdown. Would you believe it? The other thing is, haven't we had an amazing weather for almost every single day of the lockdown? And today, during today, our Prime Minister's going to give us a speech about what it might look like. Obviously, as I record this, I have no idea what that says, but I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to getting out and about and seeing people, and I can't wait to see you. And Michelle and I want to say that we love you and we're praying for you, believing for you in this season, praying for your health and well-being, and that God will bless you and get you ready, whatever God has in store for you. And we can't wait to see you on Tuesday at Heart and Soul, so please don't miss that. And Heart and Soul, at least part of it, is related to what I want to speak to all of us today. Well, one of the things that I really, really hope that all of us are doing in this season is that we're reading the Bible and praying, that we're learning from God, growing in our faith, in our discipleship, in all that God has for us, and that we're listening to God, and he can teach us both through his word and through visions and dreams and as we pray to him. And I was reading the other day from 1 Samuel chapter 12. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20-25. If you have your Bibles, why don't you grab them and they can read with me. This particular passage of the Bible is about the Israelites wanting a king. They want a king to be like all the nations around them. And Samuel, the prophet Samuel, says, look, you already have a king. His name is Jehovah. He's the God of creation, the God that brought you out of Egypt. He's been your king for this last few hundred years since you left Egypt. Why do you want to be like the other nations? You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be the people of God, the people of the king. You don't need a human king. But the people insist. God actually recognized it as they were coming out of the promised land. Moses wrote some rules and regulations down a few hundred years before, ready for this moment. And so Samuel says, okay, and they pick a king. But this is what Samuel has to say about it. 1 Samuel 12, starting to read at verse 20. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness." They'd asked for a king when God was their king, that's for human king. "Do not fear, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." And when I was reading it, I just loved the passage because it talks about discipleship and about Samuel's passion that the Israelites would still go forward in their relationship with God. He says, "Do not fear. You know, yes, you have done something that you shouldn't have done. You've asked for a king, but God still loves you. He recognized you would do this. He's not surprised. He still wants to be with you. Just make sure that you keep your heart towards him. Keep following what he wants you to do, both you and your king now that you've asked, because he is with you. He will still be there because he has chosen you," he says in verse 20. He's been pleased to choose you to make you his people. And I love that. as I walk with God, I do mess up. You mess up, right? And but God still is for us, and He loves us, and He says, "That's, you know, I forgive you because of what Jesus did. Turn, keep your heart towards me, and keep following my commands." And I was really struck with verse 21. Verse 21 says this: "And do not turn aside. Do not turn aside from following God, because," he says, "for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver you." And what Samuel's saying is, you know, if you go after anything but God and what he wants you to do and the things that the path that he's kind of made for you, his commands and instructions, it won't do you any good at all. There's no profit in that and there's no deliverance in that. You're kind of on your own and without God. And I was like, wow, almost everything needs to be put under this idea of following God. You know, that's what Samuel's trying to teach us. And then in verse 23, he says this, he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should cease to pray for you, or that I would cease to teach you the good and the right way." He was saying, you know, I know God, and I want to do my best to help teach you and instruct you, and I'm going to continually pray for you, for your blessing and for your favor, that God would take care of you and that God would bring the best out of you. And hey, isn't that what discipleship's about? It's just not about us. It's about God as well. And then he says in verse 23, he says, doesn't he, the good and the right way. What's good? Good is pleasing, it's helpful, it's full of blessing and hope and peace and joy. And Samuel's trying to say, you know, if you would follow God, he will get out, he will kind of put forward you a good path forward and a right path for you. You'll do good stuff and right stuff, and it'll bless you and bless your family. And it reminded me of Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So why don't you grab your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 11. So starting to read from verse 1. "My son," writes the writer of Proverbs, "if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Just listen to this. "He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you." And even before this was written, you know, Samuel's saying the same thing. If you would follow God, if you would begin a discipleship journey before God, then he will guard you, he'll guard your path, he'll give you victory, you'll be protected, and you'll enter in a place of blessing. Discipleship is a call to follow God because it's both good, it brings good into our lives and the people that love, and it's the right thing to do. And this theme, this discipleship theme is throughout the whole of the Bible. You know, when Jesus arrives, one of the first things he does is he calls people to follow him, to become his disciples, and then to help others to do the same. Mark 1 verse 17, when he calls the fishermen and says, "You'll no longer be fishing fish, you'll become fishers of men." You'll be helping other people to discover that being my follower, my disciple, will give them good and help them to live a right life. Matthew 28, just before he leaves us, in verse 19, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So go and make disciples everywhere that you can, followers, because it's a good way to live. This following of God, this discipleship throughout the whole of the Bible, is there because it's good for us. It's the right thing for us to do, and it helps us live a great life. So living as God instructs us leads to an amazing life. And so how do we enter and be a great disciple? Well, I want to suggest there's three types of disciples. The first type is what I would call the best or the perfect disciple, that which we are aiming for if we're following Jesus. Because, and that kind of disciple would know what God would want them to do in every and all situations. they would, as it were, have already asked the right question and found the right answer, the right way of doing things for any and all situations. Or where something kind of surprises them, they would be perfectly capable of asking the right question and understanding what God would want them to do in that situation. And I want you to note that they have to ask the right questions. And I find sometimes in my life and when I'm talking to other people, they so often ask the wrong question. And the Bible's full of disciples asking the wrong question. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 40, we read about two disciples, James and John, and they come to Jesus and say, "Hey Jesus, you know when you establish your kingdom, when you create this new heaven, new earth," or probably in their mindset, when he became king of Jerusalem, right then, right there, in maybe a few months or a few years' time, said, "Can we sit either side of you?" And in the end, Jesus had to say to him, well, actually, guys, it's not your decision or my decision to make. That's God's decision to make. And so, I don't know. But what he's trying to say really is it was just kind of the wrong kind of question. And we ask the wrong kind of question all the time, which means we always get bad answers, because you only get good answers if you ask the right question. For example, you know, I've been a youth worker for many years before I became a senior pastor, and which actually I thoroughly enjoyed both jobs. And, you know, one of the things young people were always asking, you know, in a relationship, how far can I go? And I mean, how far physically could they go? And, you know, after a few years, I kind of tweaked. It's the wrong question to ask, because what they're trying to say is, what can I get away with? And that's the wrong question. The real question is, well, how do I honor God in this relationship? If you ask that question, you get a completely different answer, because it's the right question, and then you get the right answer. And for example, you might say, you know, well, what's okay for me to do in this situation? You know, what's right for me? If I follow scripture, what's right for me? But that can be the wrong question, because you might better be asking, well, how can I help other people go forward in this situation? What's the right thing for me to do? And as an example, to go forward, you know, Paul says, "I'll become all things to all men so that people will be saved." And what was he thinking? He's thinking, I need to put others first in my thinking and then myself. What does one of the disciples ask Jesus? You know, what's the one thing that we should do? And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." Right questions are always about honoring God first and then honoring our neighbors, honoring other people. If we remember that every time we ask a question, I suspect we'll more or less always ask the right questions. And this perfect disciple, this first disciple talking about, the best disciple, would always be asking right questions ahead of the time or in the midst of an event or situation, and they'd be able to figure out what God would want them to do. Well, I don't know about you. I wrote that down and I thought, well, I'm not quite yet there. I'm kind of what I'm going to class as the middle disciple, the kind of the middling disciple. I want to be that, I'm just not there yet. I love God and I want to follow him. I want to live this good and great life that he promises, but I'm not quite there yet. And you know, this kind of disciple will be like this. This disciple both needs to keep asking questions ahead of the time, asking questions of God and scripture to understand and to learn and to grow. So we know, I know what to do in situations and when events hit, what's good and right. But also this kind of disciples need to reflect on events and situations that have happened to learn whether it's gone well, but particularly if the situation or event didn't go well, and say, well, what can I learn from that so it doesn't happen again? And then the third type of disciple, which I've termed as a poor disciple. You could term other terms, but let's just call them a poor disciple. And a poor disciple doesn't ask any questions ever of God or the Bible. They don't, or maybe they only ask a few questions of God and the Bible, and they just sort of few things out. They don't really think ahead. They're not asking questions before events. They don't really ask questions in events. They kind of just rely on their own instinct and feelings, which, as we know, can be flawed for sure. And after events, they're not that interested in trying to ask questions about why it didn't go as well as maybe it could have been. And they're just, and I would term that a poor disciple. And so this is my idea as we think about discipleship is the art of forming a great Banquet, that it begins with questions. It begins with questions. Great disciples, they ask questions ahead of time and are thoroughly equipped to ask questions in a situation. Most of us, the middle kind of group, shall I put myself in, we're asking questions, but maybe not enough. And but we need to always ask questions after the event so we can keep on learning. And then, obviously, they put it in, but it's about questions. And I want to ask this. How are you doing in the sense of asking questions? Are you asking questions? I know for one or two of you in this season, you're extra busy and you've probably got less time to ask questions of God or the Bible. You can't pray and ask God things so he can speak to you and inspire you. You've got maybe a bit less time to read the Bible because you're so busy and or you've got billions of, not billions, hopefully not billions, one or two children at home or three. I know some of you have four or five children at home and you're just looking after them. And so maybe you don't have quite as much time or as much headspace to ask these questions. But for some of us, we have more time to actually begin to ask questions and, as it were, get ahead of the curve in saying, God, what do you say about this or about that? And I think the foundation of great disciple making is asking the right question. You might be thinking, Pastor Ed, you started off by talking about discipleship is the art of producing a great banquet. How does that fit into what you're talking about? Well, it fits in, as I said, is that I think actually asking questions is the beginning of discipleship. It's the beginning of actually creating, producing a great banquet. Because what is a great banquet? And I know it. I love my food, as many of you know. What is a great banquet? Well, I think it's got four components. A great banquet is a beautiful show of amazing food. It's when you walk into a room and you look at the table and you go like, oh, wow, I can't wait to get my teeth into that food. It looks amazing. That's a great banquet. And almost all of us will have experienced that feeling of walking to a friend's house or into a restaurant or a plate arriving and you're like, oh, can't wait to eat this. That's one of the marks of a great banquet, a great meal. A great banquet, well, you know, when you kind of take it to the mouth and you taste it, you go, oh, that's such good food. It's like watching Dave Scholes. Pastor Dave Scholes, one of my exec pastors, Pastor Dave Scholes, with some not well cooked, very rarely cooked meat. And you can see his face, he goes like, oh, this is so nice. It's when, a great banquet, it's when every mouthful, you think, I could eat another one of those. But then you look at the whole spread of food and go, but I better not eat another one of those, this one. Yeah, because I've got so many other great dishes, great plates to eat. And so it's one mouthful we'll have to do. That's a great banquet. A great banquet, thirdly, is you know, when you come at the end of it, when you've finished it, you feel so fulfilled. Your stomach's happy. Your head's happy. Your heart's happy. And you go, oh, that was just an awesome food. Awesome kind of, wow, that was great. And finally, a great banquet really is something that's nutritionally helpful. And when we come away, we know that it's done us good. It's been good for us to eat the food. That's the marks of a great banquet. And I believe these four marks should be the marks of a great disciple. They are beautiful. They kind of show off who they are and what they believe in an attractive way. When you actually meet them and you talk to them, they just leave a great taste in your mouth and you go, well, actually, I want to meet you again. You're fun, you're friendly, you're warm, you're encouraging. I want to meet you again. And when you leave them, there's that sense of, you know, I've gained something from this. I feel fulfilled, I feel happy. My soul, my heart, my mind is happy because I've been with that disciple. And it's nutritious, it's good. It's left something good, something positive, something encouraging, something forward in that person's life. Discipleship is the art of producing a great banquet that we can enjoy, that others can enjoy when they are with us, that God looks down on and he goes, that banquet is really honoring me. And it's a place where others come and that connection between who we are and our relationship with God, they can make that connection and go, wow, you're like this because of who God is. Well, some of you might go, you know, Pastor Ed, I know that that does make a good banquet. And I know as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, I should be that kind of person. And I just want to say, it's not difficult for you. You see, a great banquet doesn't just appear. It's made up of a number of dishes, a number of plates. Each dish or plate is put together using a recipe and various tools, and then one at a time they're put out. And we can break this producing a great banquet being a disciple down to a number, actually I believe, of very simple steps that all of us can follow to actually, in our own unique way, produce a great banquet. You know, a recipe is made up of great ingredients, the right quality and the right quantity to make the dish or plate. The chef uses his wisdom and experience that he's gained over many years. It takes time. And then he makes sure he has enough time to produce the dish or the plate that he wants to produce. He has great tools. He has ovens and frying pans and knives and whisks and all the things that you need. A kitchen full of tools to produce whatever he wants to produce. The recipe, the dish, the plate that he's making. And then he uses the right cooking method. He boils it or fries it or freezes it or cooks it or bakes it. He does whatever is the right thing to do to get the very best out of the food. A great chef, as he's doing this, asks questions. He asks questions of his ingredients. He asks questions about his skills so he can get better. He asks questions about his tools. He asks questions about how best to cook whatever he is cooking or baking. He asks question. And over the next week or two, I haven't quite decided yet, I want to explore this idea of how we produce great dishes or plates as Christians. How we bring together ingredients and skills and tools and our own unique flavor to produce a great banquet that we can enjoy individually, but also that others can enjoy as they meet with us, and we can honor God through it, and then we can invite others into the kingdom through it. And all of us are on the journey, and I'm hoping and believing over the next week or two that each one of us will get better at it, and we will be able to produce better plates and dishes, better banquets for people to enjoy, as well as ourselves to enjoy. But in this session, on this talk, this one, I want to say it begins by asking the right questions ahead of time if possible, in the time if necessary, and then after the time if we don't quite get it right, so we can continue to learn and grow. So thanks for listening. I want to pray for you, and I'm going to hand on to Pastor Dave, who's going to just take you into the next section. Like I said to start off with, I'm believing for you, and I love you, and Michelle loves you, and we're believing for you. Let me just pray for you, and then the service will carry on. Father, I thank you that you have called us to live a good and a right life. A life that's good for us, that will help us and produce amazing things in our lives. A life full of blessing and hope and peace and joy. And a right way, a thing that will keep you pleased. And so, Father, you called us to do that. But also, Father, you have given us the gifts and skills, and they're not simple. They're relatively easy. And Father, I pray for each one of us that we may begin this week by beginning to ask the right questions. Questions that honor you, that love other people, that put other people first, that we may begin this process. And Father, I pray you bless everybody who's listened to this. And God, for any who don't know you, as we come into our next section, my God, my heart is that they would hear your call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.